Welcome to the Fully Express podcast.
We are your hosts, Samantha and Karenna.
This is a show where we invite you into your fullest expressed self in life, relationships, and business. We believe that if you crave more, you are meant for more. There is room for all of us to be fully expressed.
Along with the show, we've created a virtual community to connect you with fellow listeners. Make sure to check out the Fully Expressed community membership. You'll find the link to join in the show notes and on our website.
So excited to see you there.
Enjoy this new episode.
Welcome back to another episode of the Fully Expressed podcast. Today, Corinne and I are so excited because we're going to be talking all about food and holistic eating. We have Tara Middleton with us, who is a world-renowned holistic chef. She was classically trained in Australia and discovered early in her career that her true passion was understanding the impact food has on the mental and physical aspects of the body. Tara's approach of food sourcing and preparation for wellness retreats, corporate events, and her individual clients has helped thousands of people create a deep connection to themselves and their bodies with the rich alchemy of the food she prepares.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. I'm so stoked to be here.
We love that you are coming onto the podcast because Sam and I are just so inspired, obsessed, what's a good word, healthy relationship with health.
Yeah.
And holistic health, and like, yeah, have just like really embodied eating really holistically and just taking care of our body, and like even just the idea of like learning about nutrition and how the food literally can nourish your body with the right foods. And like, food is literally medicine. So I'm so excited that you're here.
Yes.
Oh, so good. But before we dive into all those things, I want to learn about your journey with food and health. And
yeah, because you traveled all over the world.
You did so much.
So a bit nomadic.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, my food journey begins literally since I was just an itty bitty one when I was five. I really just knew this was my path. I mean, you can only know so much when you're 5 years old, but I was watching Gordon Ramsay when most people were watching Barney, you know? Like, this was something that food just drew me in, the creative aspect of it, the cultural aspect of it. You know, I was obsessed with Anthony Bourdain and the way that he traveled and the way that he explored food as a way to bridge, you know, ourselves, bridge the gap between, you know, ourselves and the earth and each other. And I was just so inspired by that. You know, I would take spices from my mom's medicine cabinet or from her spice cabinet. I would literally put them all in a bowl, mix them around like a witch in the kitchen, and just, you know, create, because I knew this was my place, my safe haven to create in a household that, you know, was a little bit dysfunctional. So it was my safe haven for me. And then growing up, you know, food, again, it wasn't something that I really understood until I was in my late teens, early 20s, when I thought I wanted to, you know, pursue this conventional path of the culinary arts, go to culinary school, which I did in Australia. And, you know, I thought I wanted to own a restaurant, and I did work in kitchens really until in my mid 20s. And I was in different culinary environments, catering, cafes, restaurants. And I, you know, there was a missing piece for me. While I was doing all that, my health was plummeting mentally and physically. And I was realizing, why am I so passionate about something that's also making me so sick? And I just did not understand the disconnect between the two until I actually ventured into India. And India was where I discovered Ayurveda, which is this incredible holistic lifestyle science, and the way that you, you know, perceive yourselves as a multifaceted being. And I started to see myself in a different light. I started to see food as medicine, not just food as fuel. It's basically a way to connect ourselves even deeper to ourselves, not just a way to go about our day and consume, you know, unintentionally. It was a way to, for me to actually consume and understand myself in a different light. And as soon as I started to shift this perspective on food and what it's meant to do and how it's meant to heal, my body shifted entirely. And it literally came down to a perspective shift for me, and then integrating those tools like seasonal eating, local sourcing, all the things that I'm sure we'll get into that I'm obsessed with, that began to shift the way that I felt and the way that really my health was overall. So yeah, and then it took me to where I am today, which is now, you know, I help others, you know, connect back to themselves in a deeper way through food. And I love it so much. So, yeah.
What does that mean?
Connect to yourself
through food.
Yeah. So, you know, all of our bodies are different. We're so uniquely designed, and food is a vibration. And when we connect to the source of our food, when we connect to where food comes from and the story behind the seed, the story behind the food itself, we can connect to the story of ourselves. And it can actually help us, like we hear in the media, food is medicine. And it genuinely is medicine. It's the most powerful, quote unquote, drug or powerful medicine that we can, you know, have readily, it's readily accessible to us. Mm-hmm. And when we begin to create more connections to where our food comes from and where, you know, the farmers behind the food that is being cultivated for us to consume, food becomes this healing force for us to, again, tap into those hidden, those dormant powers within ourselves that can then be activated by foods that are high vibration mm-hmm. and that can act as medicine for ourselves to thrive in this world and really fully express ourselves. So, yeah.
What a beautiful concept. Because I just feel like most people are not thinking of it that way. They're like consuming because they're like, I'm hungry. I need to eat now. Or like they're living on this clock. It's time for breakfast. It's time for lunch. But there's no intentionality behind it or no perspective or like, what are the foods that I need to fuel my day to give me more within my day? And you're talking about a completely different perspective of eating.
Food is energy. You know, food is, supposed to taste good. And we want it to be this delicious, you know, delicious source of essentially this intimate, you know, connection between the earth and ourselves. It's supposed to be delicious and it's supposed to, you know, taste good and it's supposed to make us feel good. So rather it's another step beyond just, you know, the societal standard of consuming food. It's really the energy behind it and the vibrational force that it carries so that it can actually create a different level of vibration within ourselves. So we're consuming environment, we're consuming energy just as much as we're consuming, you know, the actual nutritional food pieces itself.
I would love to also like kind of go back a little bit because I remember earlier you said something along the lines of like, the thing that I love so much is burning me out, or like the thing that I love so much is getting me sick. Like, how is that your own and personal journey of being able to give yourself permission to evolve in your career versus like wanting to run away from it? And I'm curious if you even thought about running away from it because you realized that it was making you sick, that it was burning you out or whatever the symptoms were.
Yeah.
Like, what was that like in your own evolution of this space?
That's a great question. You know, I had to take a moment to really sit with that. I did take a step back to really assess what it was that I wanted to do with this burning desire within me to pursue food. I took a step back when I ended up traveling for really the year of 2019. I was living in different countries and traveling to, I was living and working in Cambodia. I was teaching yoga there. I was cooking in a kitchen, a little local cafe, and a woman's ashram in India. And it was really an opportunity for me to take a step back from this conventional path of cooking, for me to just reassess, like, I am feeling, honestly, just to put it bluntly, like shit. And I don't know why. I'm living mindlessly. I'm just living in this all-consuming path of, you know, this culinary arts path that really it was like I was climbing a ladder. Just like in the corporate sense, we're climbing a ladder. And I didn't know where that ladder ended. And it, honestly, for me, it ended at my health because I had horrendous anxiety, depression. My thyroid was, you know, out of whack entirely. I didn't have my period for 4 to 5 years. And so there really was a breaking point for me to say, like, I'm kind of the kind of person where sometimes it just takes a breaking point, big time breaking point for me to listen.
Yeah.
And it was everything all at once. And I had to really take a step back, reassess. And when I traveled, I gained an entirely different perspective and, you know, saw through a different lens as far as what I wanted to do with this burning desire within me. And I just knew that it came down to the connection of mind, body, spirit with food.
Something that I've, and I can't remember if it was called like Taste the Table or Table something, Master Chef, I don't know. It was on Netflix, but there was one episode I watched.
Chef's Table.
Yes, that's it. Chef's Table. Thank you. I knew you'd know. And it was the episode at the with the monk.
Yes, that's one of my favorites.
Yep. Me too. Mm-hmm. And something that was so profound for me was watching their connection to the food that they grew and how they knew exactly what any addition would do to their energy, to their body, It's such a good episode. If no one's watched it, it's just the power that they have with the plants and just with food and how it sustains them but doesn't send them over the edge so that they can meditate all day long. It was very eye-opening, and I feel like is that the energy that you're speaking to when you say like energy is food? Because that was very eye-opening to me.
Yes, 100%. I love that you brought that up. That's one of my favorite episodes of Chef's Table.
Yeah.
I highly recommend to anyone listening. And yes, so food as energy. So everything in its nature has a frequency. Everything in its nature vibrates, right? Atoms vibrate. Food vibrates just as much as we vibrate. And it carries a frequency. It carries an energy. And the environment, the way it's cultivated, the way it's grown is a part of that. The love that it's infused into that seedling upon, you know, being planted, it starts there. And, you know, for example, foods that are grown in factories, it's a sterile environment. So the food is losing its frequency. Mm-hmm. It's losing its ability to nourish us. And so when the food is grown in this loving environment, love is legitimately infused into that food, which is then a quality that nourishes us too. And you hear love is a secret ingredient of cooking. It is, you know, and when we cook with love, just like in many cultures, it's a ceremony. And when we cook with love, it's a piece that really helps us, you know, digest even better than if it was cooked without love or if it was cooked with stress or anger, because those things matter when it comes to cooking and consuming.
I feel like anyone could relate to that, even if you think when you're a child and you're at home, like was your mom someone or dad, my dad cooked, not my mom, but like, did they love to cook? Or did it feel like an efforting, you know, or like a must, I have to, this is my job. And like thinking back to how that felt to eat that food versus being with friends and cooking food together, and the energy you feel while you're eating that food is so powerful. Mm-hmm.
Like absolutely. When there's love in the food. I can just think of my mom and she's like, do you like it? And I know she's like literally just spending hours because it's her therapy and she loves cooking, but genuinely she's like putting so much love into her food and she just wants you to receive that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. You taste it too.
You really do.
Totally.
You
know? Absolutely. There's a total difference.
It's not woo-woo. I'm all about woo-woo, but it's real, you know? Yeah. Like it's as real as it can be. You feel the love. You feel it in your gut. You feel it in your mind. I mean, it's just it's a holistic experience, you know? Yeah.
As you've started to like really provide these services to others and like other people receiving your gifts and your love through your food and even just teaching them how to eat seasonally, for example, what are people's responses? I'm so curious.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people that I work with are open to this new way of seeing food. A lot of people, I haven't ever experienced someone where I would have to convince them that this is the way forwards, right? Mm. Because they've already been exposed to this new way, and that the whole concept of food is medicine and local sourcing and seasonal ingredients and all that. So people are very curious about something that, again, it's common sense that's not common.
Yeah, it's like ingrained in us.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Yeah, absolutely. It's literally an unlearning. So people just want to unlearn what they've been told in society of what is right and what is wrong to consume. And they just want to know the things that are innately ingrained, like you said, within us. And they're just so stoked about it. And they just, the beautiful part is the open-mindedness is a huge part of their, you know, the change in perspective and the change in the ways that they feel when they consume the food that I help, you know, make them or that I teach them how to make. So that's a really big step in this process too that I want to add is, yes, food is a big piece, but to be open-minded that this is a way forwards is also the form of acceptance that allows your body to fully, you know, heal through food.
I love that you're using the words a way forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you're like basically saying this is the way forward.
Yeah.
What does that look like? What do these meals look like? What does this food look like? Like what is your ethos around holistic eating, and where would you navigate people to that might be listening?
Yeah. So farmers markets are my Disneyland, and I recommend to everyone listening. And obviously we don't all have access to farmers markets, right? So I can understand that would be hard if we're living somewhere that, you know, it's thousands or hundreds of miles away from us. But what I do recommend when you can, if you have access to farmers markets, is again, like I said, seeing what's in season and getting inspired. Each month there's peak seasonal ingredients, and really just getting inspired and getting those ingredients out of them out at the market and highlighting them in dishes that you make for yourself and for your family, because it becomes your creative canvas. When you use these ingredients like a paintbrush, you know, there's no rules. The kitchen has no rules, in my opinion. There's really nothing. I feel like everything that you do in the kitchen creates, there's some sort of magic that's created from it, right? And so when you use these seasonal ingredients as your paintbrush, as your opportunity to create something different, it can really inspire you, and it can also expose your body to different nutritional qualities, right? So I just really recommend using these vibrant seasonal ingredients that are locally sourced, because the more local something is sourced, the more nutrient dense it has, right? It is. And to as much as possible, you know, I love Sprouts as well. Sprouts is one of my favorites. They support local farmers, and they, you know, they highlight that. And so to be able to highlight those seasonal and local ingredients from your either farmer's market or local grocery stores, then it really is a good place to start in the kitchen. And like I said, no rules, just grab what looks amazing at the market, ask those farmers, ask those vendors, and just start there. So, yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about the grocery store aspect, mm-hmm. because in that, like in my own experience, so when I was living in Del Mar, we went to Jimbo's a lot.
I love Jimbo's.
Yeah, Jimbo's is so good.
But even like a Rouse or a Sprouts, like they have certain things. Rouse, Albertsons, your like local grocery store that isn't whole, holistic, mm-hmm. and organic. Like they have the same food year round. But shopping at Jimbo's, like, they did not have the same food year round. I'm like, yeah. Wait, we're out of strawberries now? What do you mean? Or like,
yeah,
we don't have mangoes anymore? What do you mean? You know, and you're like, I'm so sad. But then I think we were programmed before to always have access to these foods. And mm-hmm. I think that's like a part of the catch in this process is like, you're talking to so much, like you'll get your strawberries back. You'll get your oranges. I think oranges are year round, but like, certain foods, you'll get them more over the others. But there's a reason about that. There's a reason why we need different foods in the wintertime compared to the summertime. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. And, you know, that's a huge thing, because we've grown to, you know, we've become accustomed to getting access to anything at any time of year, which then has an effect on how we appreciate things, mm-hmm. right? And so it's a microcosm really of so many things. But when we have access to, like you said, strawberries year round, then we don't even associate that strawberries are, you know, are at its peak in spring, summer time, right? So we don't actually know these things anymore because they're not valued. And so when we begin to understand it as, you know, food has its peak, it has its container where it thrives most, then we begin to understand why we want to consume food in season, why it's important to consume it at its peak, because it's thriving, right? Just like ourselves, we thrive in certain environments, we thrive in certain containers, and so does food, depending on the weather and the climate, et cetera. And so when we appreciate this natural resonance and this natural rhythm of the earth, then we start to become more in tune with earth's natural rhythms and with ourselves, you know?
Mm-hmm. Something else that you were saying that like really landed when you were saying that, like I just thought about a strawberry that's thriving in its season, and then you energetically eat the energy of the strawberry, and therefore you are thriving.
Yes.
In a lot of ways, like the, let's say you get strawberries all year round, it's not going to give you the thriving energy that you're calling forward to being your fullest expressed self, to your mm-hmm. point. Like, we really do need that seasonal fruit to give us the thriving energy for that season.
Yes, because it has the highest vibration in its peak mm-hmm. season. Mm-hmm. And then our bodies go into what is called sympathetic resonance. So it responds, the vibrations within ourselves respond to the vibration of that food. Mm-hmm. And so we begin to appreciate the vibration of that ingredient when it's at its peak, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a game changer. It really is. And it's something that we all have access to when only we unlearn what we've been taught around food.
I think it makes it nice or welcoming for people as well, because it's so easy to get caught in, you know, I should be vegetarian or vegan, or I should only eat this, or I should only eat this way, keto, all these like rules. But when you go back to just eating whole foods that are in season, local, like it actually opens up for you what's possible without so much restriction. I think that is maybe what you're speaking to of this unlearning, because mm-hmm. I feel like everyone has an opinion on what you should eat and what's best for your body. But I feel like the people that I've seen that are usually thriving the most are the ones that are eating local to wherever it is that they live. Mm-hmm. And when you look at other countries, they eat, they go to the market every day or mm-hmm. every other day mm-hmm. and they buy whatever's like picked by their neighbor down the street. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we've lost so much of that.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone, you know, has the next best diet. And in my opinion, Earth knows best. Mm. So when we get in tune with Earth, then that is ultimately the greatest healing force for any of us. And it doesn't, Earth doesn't tell us to eat in one certain way. And we can all eat differently, but still follow the natural rhythms of Earth and what we intuitively need for ourselves, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean that we all need to follow one diet to get to a certain outcome. Mm-hmm. I think we just need to be in tune with what our bodies need and allow nature to guide us through that.
Mm-hmm. How do you help people to get back in tune with their bodies?
Mm. Yeah, so when I cook for people or when I work with people, I also do, you know, health coaching. And I first and foremost want to help people understand the why. You know, I can feed them food all day and, you know, teach them about where food comes from. But first and foremost, to be able to understand your body and its innate gifts and its innate cravings and tendencies is going to help you actually consume food differently. So there's a step beyond consuming, or really first beyond step consuming food, which is understanding your body and what it genuinely needs in that time. You know, what does it need? When does it need it? And, you know, that can again come from peeling away at, you know, there's a numbness that comes from just living life and consuming food and not necessarily understanding the impact that it can have on your body. But when we, you know, begin to listen and tap into our hearts and our bodies, it speaks, right? It has its own language and unspoken dialogue with ourselves. And I really, you know, aim to help people tune into their bodies so that they can see food differently, cook food differently, consume food differently, and essentially communicate with it in a different way. Right. Mm-hmm. So I like to teach people how to get in tune with themselves so that they can really consume food in a different way.
And there's so much to that, because we've talked about intuitive eating so much. And I think in mm-hmm. my own intuitive eating journey, because I had an eating disorder and other mm-hmm. things that came up. Mm-hmm. But what I've learned is, like, when you start to pay attention to how food makes you feel, then you can tell mm-hmm. when you need a certain food.
Yep.
And like listening to it, which is difficult because there is the constant background of like, I shouldn't be eating this food right now, or this is what this law mm-hmm. says, or this is what this person says, or whatever. But it's so beautiful that you're talking to like that. And I think the numbingness is also a big one. Like someone else that we had here earlier, Leah, she said, one of the questions that everyone asks is that, what is your favorite breakfast? And everyone's like, I don't eat breakfast, or I just have coffee. Mm. And I got so curious about that when she said that. I was like, are people really listening to their hunger cues when they wake up first thing in the morning? Or are they programmed to be like, I have to have a cup of coffee first, that is taking you away mm-hmm. from the actual nutrients from your food?
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally. Because it's a routine that we get ourselves into mm-hmm. where we become comfortable with routine. But, you know, if we have a stomach ache, we kind of just, you know, put it to the side. And or if we're really tired, we don't really look into what that is, right?
We just drink a cup of coffee.
We just drink a cup mm-hmm. of coffee. We numb yep. it. If there's mm-hmm. a whole culture of like that mm-hmm. Band-Aid, you know, ideology of just slap a Band-Aid on it or just ignore it, turn a blind eye, and all is fine, right? Mm-hmm. But when we do a little bit of the hard work and just look, it doesn't have to be hard work, but it can be when we're comfortable with certain things. But when we look really beneath that and we don't put a Band-Aid on it, we can begin to reveal some really powerful stuff. And mm. again, it's, you know, it's not a secret pill. It's just the secret pill is you, right? Mm.
The other thing I thought about when you were talking about that, there's also specific foods that are more grounding and more airy than others.
Yes.
And I'm also curious, like, if people are more attracted to like more airy foods because they like being more airy and not feeling grounded mm. or vice versa. People are more comfortable in being eating only grounding heavy foods because mm-hmm. they always want to be grounded, mm-hmm. which all comes down to just like you getting in tune with your body.
Mm-hmm. 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 And every, like, for example, naturally, you know, in this different seasons right now, we're in winter, mm-hmm. we're moving into winter, and I have a lot of Vata, which is essentially air and ethereal qualities in my body. My body naturally craves grounding foods, mm-hmm. pumpkins, you know, root vegetables, sweet potatoes, all that delicious, nourishing, you know, vegetables. And I'm, you know, I love meat and all that stuff that helps ground my body.
Oh, I feel that way too.
Yeah. And so my body innately craves nourishing, grounding foods. And I think to your point, you know, if we tap in and listen to what our body is needing, it will tell us, I want grounding food. I want potato. Yeah. I want squash. I want, you know, tomato or whatever. And those cravings, are the way that the body is communicating with you to say, I want this quality within me so that I can thrive and express mm-hmm. myself in a different way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a really cool dialogue that you begin to have with yourself.
I was thinking about this as well. Mick and I were talking about this. Like when women are pregnant, for example, like, you know, people are like, I crave really salty foods. Like their cravings completely mm-hmm. change. And Mick and I were talking about, my partner is a holistic health practitioner. Cool. And he was talking so much about like, I think that's just the body literally saying like, this you are nutrient missing. Deficient in this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need more of this. Mm-hmm. The hard part, I think, when people are pregnant, they start eating all the foods that they can.
Yeah.
But there is that. Like you feel it. You sense that your body's changing so much when you're pregnant mm-hmm. and hormonally that the deficiency is down. It's going to say, I need this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The body will tell you. And the extreme, you know, reactions that we have or the extreme cravings that we have, they don't come out of nowhere. They come as a result of our body saying, please feed me this ingredient or please feed me this quality so that I can balance myself out, you know, and come back to homeostasis within myself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a really big part of it.
So cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
What I think is wild too, I took an herbal class recently.
Nice.
And the man that teaches it he's amazing, but yeah. He's like 80 years old. But something that was so eye-opening, and I think it relates back to like what you're saying about farmers and eating yeah. locally, is there's so many plants here in San Diego mm-hmm. that can heal us, like specifically for ailments or issues that happen in this environment mm-hmm. or like even for digestive issues, like all these things. And no, we're never taught really about that. We're not mm-hmm. like, I had no idea. There's mugwort that grows mm-hmm. rampant in Mission Valley, which can send you on like a whole spiritual journey in mm-hmm. your sleep, you know? Mm-hmm. And
can you imagine all the homeless people are like
taking mugwort? Yeah. They're like
sniffing it and all this. Yeah. Thing. The best plant I've ever had, and it's just yeah. hanging out in Mission.
Totally. Literally. Yeah, yep. In the river there where they all hang out, they're like smoking the mugwort.
Like, they're like, I'm good here.
Yep.
But it does like relate back to the fact that like we're so disconnected. Like I bet there's so majority of people in San Diego couldn't even tell you what grows here, couldn't yeah. even tell you what can be grown here, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah,
and we went from this society of everyone farming their own food to now just like going to the grocery store where there's what, like 25 vegetables, mm-hmm. like or something. It's like some low number and it's all the same vegetables. Like mm-hmm. there's no variety.
Yeah.
Unless we're so blessed here to go to Jimbo's and Sprouts and those things. But mm-hmm. I feel like, what are some of the key things you have learned on your own healing journey in terms of like utilizing these local produce or the herbs or whatever to like, what was the most significant impact that you experienced in your body through this healing journey that you went on?
Yeah. So when I started to understand the reason that I, you know, the reason behind eating local and understanding the impact that that can have on my health, it literally was as simple and not as simple as, because I was so in my routine of having certain foods. I had disordered eating when I was in my early 20s, late teens.
You did too, yeah.
And it was, you know, I was so stuck in my own spiral of, I ate the same thing every single day, but very little of nutrient dense foods, like mm-hmm. almost nothing. You know, I would deprive myself of food so that I could consume, you know, just a little bit of ice cream at the end of the day or something like that. And so I didn't know really what any of that meant. And, you know, I was not even listening to what my body needed at that time. So when I started to understand that, you know, it was as simple as listening to my body and understanding that locally grown foods in the season that it was meant to be grown in and consuming it then, my energy, first of all, I was so ethereal. I was so floaty. I was in another planet because I wasn't consuming anything that my body needed. You mm-hmm. know, I was not grounded. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a result, I had tremendous anxiety and I was, you know, going every which way within my own mind. And so when it came down to really, I had a conversation with an Ayurvedic doctor who told me, he kept telling me, consume pumpkin. And it was funny because I was like, pumpkin, okay. But I started to understand it was the microcosm of consume grounding foods, consume foods that will ground your mm-hmm. energy, because ultimately it's not just the pumpkin, it's, you know, foods that will help offset the extreme imbalance that you were experiencing in your body that was throwing you off completely, right? Both mentally and physically. So it really came into tuning into, the opposite, bringing myself back into balance with the opposite of what I was experiencing. So I was overly, you know, airy. So I really wanted to, and my digestive system was out of whack. It was super bloated. And so it was expressing itself in all different ways. And so I started to consume more root vegetables and with these nourishing qualities, like I mentioned before. And I started to notice my energy shift. Immediately, my anxiety subsided. Like, it was crazy. You know, I was told to be put on anxiety, depression medication, all these things for the rest of my life, essentially. And I would, you know, develop a dependency on that. And I just knew that that wasn't true. I just knew within myself, you know, it can serve a purpose for a certain time, but I also knew that that wasn't my answer. Mm-hmm. And when I understood the why and I understood how to shift that, then I started to feel the difference. Like, that's I landed on myself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Came back to earth.
I came back to earth.
Came back to
literally.
Earth.
Yeah. Like, I freaking landed.
Girl, you're home. Yeah. You've been up in the clouds
exactly.
for too long.
Yes. Yeah.
Girl, you haven't been eating. Get food.
Yeah. And I'm a Libra, so I was like, woof, like flying away, you know? But yeah, it was, I came home. I did.
That's really beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. At this part of the interview, we want to get to know you a little bit more too.
Yeah.
Where in your life are you feeling called to be more fully expressed? And this can be life, relationships, business, friendship, anything that comes to mind.
I have this general thing right now where I need to show up. I've been wanting to show up just more as me, right? More authentically, in the sense of, there's nothing I need to say or do or put a mask on or pretend, you know, to be someone that I'm not. And I have this fear of being accepted, and I've had that fear really my whole life. Like, I need to be accepted, or I need to belong, and all these things. And it's gotten in the way of my own self-expression, because, you know, as a result of my thyroid issues and my voice, I used to have this quiver in my voice because I got so nervous when I spoke. I was realizing I wasn't showing up as myself, and that's what has been holding me back. And now, you know, in this past couple of years, really this last year, I'm wanting to do more of that and put myself in uncomfortable situations that allow me to show up fully, whether I'm quote unquote accepted or not. That's not even something I'm concerned about anymore, you know, because if I'm accepted for not being me, like, why the heck would I want to be, you know?
So you're working on your throat chakra?
Big time. I feel it, you know, like, I feel that. And the beautiful thing is the thyroid is in the shape of a butterfly. You know, and butterflies are one of my symbols, and I just feel it flapping its wings, you know, like, I'm ready to express in my own way, you know.
One thing I just thought about when you were saying that, I think I remember you commenting on one of our reels, and you were like, I want to be on this podcast.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was that you? That was you using your voice?
That was me. That was the inner me. Yes.
Yeah, I love it.
And I put on my vision board this past year in January, I want to be on more podcasts so that I can express myself more fully. And this podcast is called Fully Express Podcast.
How perfect.
So,
oh my gosh.
At the end of the year,
it.
I mean, it's a full moon. So it's just all the things.
Yeah, the Gemini full moon.
Yeah. And I mean, you can't make that up, you know? So here we are.
There's your intention.
That's
manifesting
amazing.
Itself.
Yep, fully.
Literally.
So what are you welcoming in? What's your 2025? Even though we technically believe that the new year starts in March.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
clarifying. Yeah. But for the next season of life after winter, we will say, what are you calling in for yourself?
I am calling in opportunities that challenge me in the sense of pushing me more into my purpose. I just know that this next year is going to be extremely expansive for myself, because I am just so clear on my vision for what I want, you know, what I want to create in this world, what I want to continue creating, and how I want to serve. And you know, I oftentimes will try to juggle so many things at once, and I'm just trying to simplify my life so that I can really clarify my vision and make greater impact. And, you know, there, you know, going to be some challenges and stuff along the way, but those are ultimately going to help expand me into creating greater impact. And I know that that's what this year is calling in for me, you know.
Get you more podcast, girl.
Yes.
Get you recording. Honestly, yes. Though, even like having the podcast myself, that was also a reason selfishly. I was like, I need to own my voice.
Yeah.
My first year. And like you really just being in the room, having these conversations, being invited to talk, being interviewed is like the best way to practice.
Yeah.
Which can also be the scariest because you're stepping on stage in a lot of ways. You're like, totally. Wait, I want to be on stage, but like, is there like a practice run before I get on there?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's in these spaces where you start to get more confident mm-hmm. and like you can just feel your voice ground mm-hmm. into your body. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost like, this is what the podcast was made for.
Yeah.
You know, we've had other guests that have come on that say the same thing where they're like, we just want to share their voices more. And like the fact that this platform has become a channel for you, just like, really yeah. hits mm-hmm. so good.
And no, so many people need to know. I think we do live in an echo chamber, and so many people mm-hmm. don't understand how big the role of food plays in our health and well-being mm-hmm. to all the way down to the energy that yeah. you're eating.
Yeah.
And I feel like the more people can just open their mind to it and hear that, they're like, oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I don't have a Sprouts here. Maybe I'll go and find a local farmer down the street and get my, you know, beef from him or get my like arugula from my neighbor, like little things. Or maybe I'm going to grow Sprouts on my windowsill. Yes. It's like those little changes. I think sometimes we like feel so big. It's like feels overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Like, well, how am I going to do that? It's the dead of winter and it's snowing and I can't grow food. But I think it opens people's minds to other ways of being and other possibilities
yeah.
around being in health. Like it doesn't have to be a pill you take. It doesn't have mm-hmm. to be, it doesn't have to be so big and so hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think no. it's a great message.
It doesn't.
And it's a part of our nature.
Yeah,
you know, like we've had these conversations around seasons. Like
yeah.
we were always this way.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were not.
Yeah, the Industrial Revolution like, came in and was like
everything yeah. else changed our world, but we're like literally yeah. going back to the basics. Like yeah. this is what our ancestors did.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the past generations did.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as hard because you already know it.
Yeah.
Next time we have you on, we'll be in candlelight. Yes. No blue light. Candlelight only.
Yeah, we almost wore blue light blockers for this. And I was like, do we do it?
We have to have eye contact. Yeah.
We're going to have our sweats and our
blue light glasses. And we'll have them for every guest. We'll be like, yes. listen, we're going to have this talk, but everybody needs their blue light on, their blue light blockers on.
Fully just, yeah, in their element.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming. And thank yes. you so much for coming this late on the weekend.
Yeah. And no sharing your story.
No one's gonna know when we did this.
Yeah.
But thank you. Thank you so much. It really yeah. meant a lot. And it was so nice to feel your energy and get to know you.
Mm, thank you for having me. This was, like I said, just a beautiful opportunity to connect and to share mm-hmm. what it is that I'm so passionate about, you know, mm-hmm. speaking out into the world. So I really appreciate the space.
Where can people find you if they wanna yeah. learn more or work with you?
Yeah, so my website, taramiddleton.com, and my Instagram is @taramiddleton_. Those are the two main channels that I'm reachable at. So cool.
We'll put in the show notes too.
Yeah, yes. Everything will be down linked for you below.
Awesome.
But yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Much love.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you. See you on the next one.